A steel or iron shoe nailed to the bottom of a horse's hoof is a practice dating back to Egyptian times and still has its place today. Trumanburg, New York's Steve Krause has been shoeing horses for over 30 years. He's the program coordinator of this week's American Farriers Association convention.
Horses did sort of go out between World War I and World War II because of the Depression. Out of business, so to speak, were the farm horses and the road horses replaced by, you know, tractors and cars. And there wasn't as much recreational horses. Now the recreational horse business has grown in the last 30 years or more. We have a tremendous diversity of horses used for many types of highly competitive sports as well as just recreational activities.
And horses that are doing specialized work need specialized shoes, even different shoes in the front compared to those in the rear.
Just the presence of a horseshoe-shaped object is not the point. The horse supports two-thirds of his weight on front, and he propels himself from behind. So you need wider, supportive-type shoes on front, and generally speaking, and more traction-oriented, lighter shoes behind.
The hammer to hit, the tongs to hold, and the anvil to do the hitting on, and a 2,300-degree Fahrenheit oven. Those tools still work best for the farrier, plus associated instruments, many times made by the worker themselves, for nail hole punching and detail work.
I'm looking for it to be level, for nail holes to fit, for it to be the shape that I wanted, and for it to be the shoe that I wanted.
Oakdale, California's Kelly Vermeer flies in the face of the stereotyped steel worker, the burly gentleman toiling under a spreading chestnut tree somewhere. Women are in the minority in this profession, but big arms won't lead to the best work. Vermeer is known as one of the best at farrier competitions.
A person that pays attention to basics and to details, and is not necessarily the shiniest shoe, but the one that's most appropriate. There's a shape that you strive for, but you can't necessarily get that with every horse. Nail holes are punched differently for different types of feet, and there's different shapes for different types of fit. Like if you're going to fit a horse really tight, say if it's a barrel racing horse and more apt to pull its shoes off, there's a different shape to that. The heels kind of come in tight. Oh, saddlebred, where they're fit with a lot of length, the heels will come more straight back.
Zanesville, Ohio's Michael McNutt has been shoeing for 16 years.
Strength doesn't mean anything at all. Most of us probably have a problem with too much strength. It's all in finesse and holding and knowing where to hit the metal on the anvil. But momentum of the hammer swing and everything. Yeah, if you look around, you see some pretty skinny, small guys that can make beautiful shoes.
Like fingernails, horse hooves need to be maintained and shaved or sculpted before the shoe is applied. And no, it doesn't hurt the horse. Correctly placed nails are pushed into dead tissue, and the horse is good to go for about 6 more weeks when it's time to shoe again. Farriers know their business. The AFA certifies their members at various degrees, beginning with how bones, ligaments, and tendons work in horses. Steve Krause.
Anatomical theories of how the leg works. As you get further into more therapeutic shoeing and deal with diseases and things like that, then the understanding has to go further to the circulatory system and the nervous system of the leg and how all that interacts. Anatomy is a gradual step-by-step learning process.
At Rochester's Riverside Convention Center, with the 27th Annual American Farriers Association Convention, I'm Bill Flynn.